This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen. We are with rotowire.com. Go check us out. Use promo code VSiN. Get 15% off any RotoWire subscription. Let's talk about the draft. It's a huge draft day. It is draft. First round of the draft today. Can't wait. You know, there's no more speculation after today. We get to actually talk about the actual players tomorrow. We get to see that. Really looking forward to our guest today. Adam Kaplan joins the show. The NFL Insider talks about which team should trade up in the first round. Chris Doering is going to join us as well. And then we're going to talk about the NBA playoffs. We'll talk a little baseball as well. The Mets snap their losing streak, but then lose a player in the process. Nick, a lot to process here. Let's start NBA, though. A lot going on in that world. Let's start with the NFL draft first real quick. That's the lead story. Jeremiah Love is the buzzy guy. Some buzz on him going to Arizona at 3. Are you buying it, or is that a smokescreen?
Yeah, well, we're getting into smokescreen hours here, as we're like 7 hours away from the NFL draft. And those smokescreens have been out there, but you know, we're now getting kind of the final mock drafts from all the insiders. The what am I hearing pieces are all out there. And yeah, Jeremiah Love to go to Arizona at 3 continues to pick up steam. If you're tracking this in the betting markets, he's now plus 180 to go 3rd overall. That pick, of course, belonging to the Arizona Cardinals. He is still the short shot to go 4th, however, plus 155, but those numbers are a lot closer than they were a few days ago. He is minus 500 to be a top 5 pick. You know, so if he doesn't go at 3, it feels likely that he would go 4. If he doesn't go 4, maybe the Giants take him at 5, but considered overwhelmingly likely that he will be a top 5 pick. Other than that, though, Jeff, you know, we've had some movement as far as, you know, some teams being interested in wide receivers. You know, if you've been tracking mock drafts, someone like Denzel Boston, for instance, was maybe not thought to be a first round pick a couple weeks ago. Now he's in there in a lot of mock drafts. There was an interesting report, Jeff, in my backyard. The Jacksonville Jaguars, of course, do not have a first round pick this year by virtue of the Travis Hunter deal. But Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, reported this morning that there are rumors out there that the Jags are looking to get into the back half of round one, may even be willing to dangle Brian Thomas Jr. in order to accomplish that.
Wow. How do you feel about that? I'm still the belief that Brian Thomas Jr. can be a really productive player. I guess maybe he just is not a fit with Jacksonville anymore. What's your take on that?
Look, I guess if you can get a first round pick for Brian Thomas Jr., you have to at least entertain that possibility. The Jaguars, of course, have a lot more information as far as, okay, what happened between year one and year two with Brian Thomas that, you know, we thought this guy was going to be just a top 10 receiver in the NFL for the next decade. And then all of a sudden he didn't want to run over the middle. He wasn't catching contested balls down the field. It got a little bit better as the season went along, but it really at no point did Brian Thomas Jr. have a 2 or 3 game stretch like he did over the final 10 games of his rookie year. So it's about the internal evaluation for Jacksonville. Obviously you feel a lot better about someone like Parker Washington being a contributor going forward, but if you trade Brian Thomas Jr. and you don't take a receiver with that pick, which I don't think they would. You know, I think the Jags have more needs either on the offensive line or specifically on defense than they do at wide receiver. All of a sudden you're opening up a big hole there. And I know Brian Thomas Jr. himself is a question mark, but even a diminished version of BTJ is still a pretty good receiver. We saw that last year. It worked out really well for the Jags down the stretch. And obviously they came up short in the playoffs, but you know, I think their 1-2-3 right now looks really nice on paper, and it actually takes a lot of the pressure off of Brian Thomas to be that guy. All of a sudden, if you remove him, and let's say you move into the first round, you take a defensive lineman, defensive end, whoever it may be, okay, then it's Jacoby Myers, you need to be our number one. Parker Washington, all of a sudden, you're our number two. Are we mixing Travis Hunter back in there a little bit more than we want to? So it's a complicated situation, but look, I don't doubt these reports at all. I know James Gladstone has tried to throw cold water on this notion that they might trade Brian Thomas Jr. We saw what this guy did immediately when he took over last year, which was move up, take Travis Hunter, one of the more polarizing prospects in the draft. They trade for Jacoby Myers midseason. Like, he is not afraid to make dramatic moves. So I will not be surprised, Jeff. I will have my Jalen Ramsey jersey on hand just in case the Jags do move into the first round.
Excellent. Love to see it there. Let's talk the NBA. Last night, the Orlando Magic are who we thought they were. We finally saw the version of the Orlando Magic that we thought they were going into the play-in tournament after their first round loss there. It took a couple of games. They played great for a couple of games. They gave up a 30-3 stretch last night against the Pistons.
Yes, and mind you, this is the same team that gave up a 31-0 stretch against the Toronto Raptors less than a month ago. So I think this was the exact game that the Detroit Pistons needed last night. Even a close victory, like let's say they win this game, but it comes down to the last couple possessions, maybe they're trailing. You're like, all right, we even the series at 1-1, but do we really feel great about this heading back to Orlando? Like this was kind of a reminder game, kind of a reset for this series that Detroit, you know, can lock in defensively and hold Orlando to one of its worst offensive games of the entire season. The Magic had an 84.3 offensive rating. Like sitting around 100 is bad. Anything under 100 is terrible. Anything under 90 is disastrous. Like this was a brutal, brutal offensive night for the Orlando Magic. Nobody even got to 20 points. Paolo Banchero, 18 points on 17 shots. Franz Wagner really didn't do a whole lot. You know, Jalen Suggs tried to keep Orlando in it, but really it was that run in the third quarter that separated Detroit. They never really looked back after that. So feels like the momentum now back on the side of the Detroit Pistons as we look ahead to game three. I still think they could be a lot better offensively. They only shot 6 of 26 from beyond the arc last night. They were at 46% from the field as a team. Still didn't get a monster game out of Jalen Duren, but this was the Detroit Pistons defense that we saw throughout the regular season.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious to see what happens when they go on the road. Will they still have that same sort of defensive energy in Orlando? We'll see. The other game, the night gap, the Oklahoma City Thunder won a game that wasn't as close as the final score, but it was a bit of a Pyrrhic victory because they lost Jalen Williams in the process.
Yeah, it ended up being kind of a weird game where, you know, OKC had to kind of keep the starters in a little bit longer than it looked. You know, they were up 25 in the second half. Suns all of a sudden cut the lead down to midway through the fourth quarter. Never really felt like Phoenix was going to push to win this game, but they were able to pretty comfortably cover the 17.5. Game total went over as well. But yeah, you're right. Jalen Williams, I think this is really concerning if you're OKC, maybe not for the rest of this series. Yeah, they can absolutely handle the Phoenix Suns in Phoenix without him. They are 9.5 point favorites on the road on Saturday night for game three. I don't think Jalen Williams is going to be out there. We have to keep in mind, Jeff, he missed significant time during the regular season with two separate hamstring strains, and that's what he's dealing with. Now, in the regular season, it was his right hamstring. Now it's his left hamstring. I'm not sure if that's better or worse, but either way, sometimes you do see that, right? Kind of a compensation type of injury when you're dealing with an issue on one side. So I would be watching this very, very closely now for OKC trying to finish this series in four, get maximum rest.
Indeed. Indeed. So watching that one really closely there to see what happens. At least they have that buffer, that two-nothing buffer there, and two games that weren't especially close. So that I think that at least gives them some time to take this cautiously at the very least there. We're going to talk a little baseball first, but first, are you still using your buddy's gut instinct as a betting strategy? Come on, you deserve better. RotoWire gives you the real tools the pros use: rankings, projections, breaking updates, and data that never sleeps. Whether you're setting fantasy lineups, making picks, or placing bets, RotoWire's award-winning insights give you a real edge. Get started today at rotowire.com. Use promo code VEASAN for 15% off any RotoWire product. Nick, the Mets have finally ended their losing streak. After losing 12 in a row, they hung on for dear life. They won last night against the Twins 3-2, but they lost Francisco Lindor in the process, and now it looks like he's headed to the IL.
Yeah, the impossible has happened. The Mets have won a baseball game, but of course the baseball gods take it away right away with Lindor going out of the game with left calf tightness, immediately placed on the IL. That is not the greatest sign for a team that was obviously without Juan Soto for most of that losing streak, got him back, and now you lose your next best player. It was a 3-2 win for the Mets last night. They needed a Mark Vientos RBI single in the eighth to end up winning 3-2 over the Minnesota Twins. I don't think we could officially say the Mets are back on the rails by any point, especially without Francisco Lindor. But Jeff, looking at this through a fantasy lens, what did you make of the save situation last night for the New York Mets with Luke Weaver coming in late?
Yeah, it was interesting because Carlos Mendoza did not say that he was changing the closer, but then you get push comes to shove. Here it is, Luke Weaver. He got four outs, too. He came in the eighth, got the last out of the eighth, and then went through the ninth. I kind of wonder if some of this was a pitch count accumulation for Williams the night before when he blew the save. So we'll see what happens. They play again tonight against the Twins. We might have a little bit of action on that when we talk about later on in our best bets. Lots of action to talk about. I don't know if we're going to get to all the games on the slate, but we'll see about that. But I would be picking up Luke Weaver if he's still available in your fantasy leagues. I have a fab run in my NL-only home league tonight. Definitely going to be a guy I'm digging into a little bit. There's going to be a lot of closer to chaos again. We're seeing it all over the place there, including like on the Orioles now. Their closer is going on away on a bereavement leave. It's just everywhere. There's turnover everywhere right now.
Yeah, we'll get you some baseball plays later in the show. We'll get you some NBA plays as well. Obviously, a lot to talk about with the NFL draft, but we'll hit as many of those games on the slate as we can. So life is slightly better this morning if you're a New York Mets fan, Jeff. Not the case if you are a Philadelphia Phillies fan. They lose again. Their losing streak now up to 8 games, both the Mets and the Phillies sitting at 8-16 on the year. Which of these teams would you say you're most concerned about going forward, whether it's making the playoffs or just kind of avoiding the Atlanta Braves 2025 disaster season?
It's the Phillies. I'm really worried about the Phillies. I know they're getting Zach Wheeler back this weekend. They just released Taijuan Walker. That experiment is thankfully over. It was laughable to suggest that Painter was going to get booted in from the rotation instead of Walker when Wheeler returned. Last night was the last draw. Came in as the primary pitcher after an opener. Didn't help matters at all. But this is an old team. There's a lot of hitters are over 30. There's not too much breakout there. They're not hitting at all. Their team OBP is less than 300 right now. That's hard to do in this day and age, even with batting average being down across baseball. OBP below 300 is a really bad hitter for a player. For a whole team to be doing that, just disastrous right now. And that's not what we expect with the Phillies. Expected them to be one of these strong teams. A very strong team last year, and this they fallen off a cliff so far. I don't know if they can come all the way back.
We'll see the Phillies in action in about an hour at Wrigley Field. Keep you posted on that game as the show rolls along. Talking NFL draft, talking some Eagles with Adam Kaplan. When we come back, this is Prop Points.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nick Whale and Jeff Erickson back with you. It's Prop Points here on VSiN, the sports betting network, streaming along live on SiriusXM channel 158 as well. We're heading out to the Progressive guest line, bringing on Adam Kaplan, NFL insider, also the host of Inside the Birds podcast. You can check him out on Twitter on X at Kaplan NFL. Adam, appreciate you giving us some of your time. I know this has already been a very busy day for you. Let's get right to it. Talk a little NFL draft. Now, we were just chatting off air. You said this is the worst draft you've seen in almost 30 years of NFL coverage in terms of blue chip talent. And look, I think that has been a common refrain leading up to round one tonight. But what are the redeeming qualities of this draft? If we don't have the blue chippers at the top, what are the strengths of the 2026 class?
All right, so yeah, by position, that's a good way to set this up. So I would say corners got some depth. Tight end, this is a great draft, by the way. And we talk fantasy, obviously. It is a really deep draft for Dynasty League people. There's no question about it. There are some really good tight ends mid-level. It's top-heavy at receiver. The tackle class, one source said to me, it's a really good line, it goes, this is the draft of short arm linemen. This is just the way it is. You want your tackles, guys, to be 34 inches or longer. There are a lot of guys like Will Campbell, 32 and 5A's, 33 and a quarter, 33 and eighth. You don't want that for your tackle. So that's a problem, but there's depth to it. It's just, as one personnel director said to me, there's a lot you have to accept about this draft. You don't want to accept it, but you have to draft a player. You're not going to not pick somebody. And that's, guys, as I send it back to you, this is the problem with the first round. I would say in total, what are called universal first round grades. These are guys you believe will be multi-year Pro Bowlers. There might only be 9 or 10. That's a very light draft for the first round.
Yeah, and in light of that, and you know, we talked off air about how the lack of superstar talent at the top of the draft, the Bengals making that trade with the New York Giants on Saturday night, it makes a little bit more sense when you think about them at 10, thinking that the people they want to target, the elite defensive players, might all be gone at 10. They have that urgency to win right now. We saw Burrow's press conference last year. We've seen how bad the defense was. Getting Dexter Lawrence could be better in the immediate term than anybody they could have gotten at 10. Would you agree?
Yeah. First of all, when you look at the D tackle class, as many as two might go in the back of the first round, and there's an outside chance none go in the first round. So on your point, which is
right,
well taken. Now the only, from a metric standpoint, Dexter Lawrence had a down year. Pressure rate was not bad, but sack numbers, which is, I'm not a big sack guy. I'm a big pressure rate. That's more, because just talking to coaches, guys, that's way more important. Sacks are individual plays. Consistent pressure rate is very important. His pressure rate's still not bad, but Dexter Lawrence had a down year overall, no doubt. But you're not getting a D tackle anywhere close to him. He's still a very good player. You know, they did extend his contract a year. Now, it leaves a big hole for the Giants, by the way, up front. They are super light at D tackle. But they, of course, have two first-round picks. They're a team that I believe with John Harbaugh will be way better and better coached than they were previously, and they're just not going to lose close games like they did before. But, yeah, you're right. And defensively, you know, when we look at position, like D-tackle super light, edge rusher group is sort of uneven for this draft. And the Bengals were actually not competitive defensively for most of the season under Al Golden. It's not his fault. Over Temple and Miami head coach, who had worked previously for the Lions many years ago on defense, but they got to help him. And you know, Joe Burrow, if I'm Joe Burrow, guys, and you're talking about Burrow, at some point when it comes to negotiating his contract, is he even going to want to be there down the road if this thing doesn't get turned around?
Right.
Talk with Adam Kaplan, NFL insider, also the host of the Inside the Birds podcast. He joined us on the Progressive Guest Line. Adam, let's talk a little Eagles. So we have a unique situation unfolding here. We got the news, if you even want to call it that, a week ago, that essentially a trade feels like it's in place and likely won't happen for another month and a half. But there is plenty of smoke around A.J. Brown specifically finding his way to the New England Patriots. Now, if we assume that that trade is going to happen, and we'll see if that's ultimately the case, is there a momentum for the Eagles to invest in a wide receiver in this draft, or have they already done that, you know, retooling beyond Devontae Smith?
No, well, Devontae Smith is a stud. He's not what you call an X receiver, the single side receiver, usually a bigger physical guy, but he catches everything. His pass target total was going to go up. You look at the vacated pass targets, obviously someone's got to get them. Devontae Smith will get them, but don't discount Dontavian Wicks. The offensive coordinator, Sean Mannion, was with him in Green Bay. And Howie Roseman, the Eagles general manager, who has personnel control, he's always like Wicks. He's going to have a big role. They're paying him $12.5 million next year, but less than half of that's fully guaranteed at signing. But they have a big role in mind for him. I expect them to add a receiver in this draft unless something happens that they can't. But it's fascinating. And Kayshon Booty could be on the move, by the way, from talking to clubs. There's just no room for him. What's odd is he started last year. But when you look at Matt Collins, Pop Douglas, Kai Williams, who I know they really like, and you add A.J. Brown to go with Romeo Doubs, there's just no room. But the A.J. Brown being reunited with Mike Vrabel, Todd Downing, who's the receivers coach, who was the offense coordinator with the Titans, and I reported this 3 years ago. It was well before Vrabel got there. The Patriots called the Eagles to see what his A.J. Brown's availability was, and the Eagles told him he wasn't available. They're going to extend his contract. So it's not just Vrabel who really likes this player.
Adam, let's stay in the NFC East. Talk a little Cowboys. They announced that they are not going to negotiate for a long-term extension with George Pickens, intend to have him play on his franchise tag. Does that mean they are spending one of those first two picks on a wide receiver? Maybe later in the draft, did they do that? What do you expect them to do in accordance with that?
Guys, I expect defense. This is going to be a defensive-led draft. The last 3 years have been not competitive, particularly since Dan Quinn left to become the Washington Commanders head coach. They need cornerback help. They need edge help. Ezeraku, the second rounder of Boston College, had hip labrum surgery. That's a concern. They just have not gotten right on defense, no matter who the D coordinator's been. Matt Eberflus, he got canned. Mike Zimmer, they didn't bring him back. They got to get this thing done, and they cannot compete in that division with Philly, especially until they get the defense turned around. It doesn't mean they won't add a receiver at some point, but they've got to add defensive help. They just are. It's no matter what Jerry Jones says about stopping the run, that's not how you win in the National Football League. It's rush and coverage. Jerry should know that. He played football, believe it or not, in college with Jimmy Johnson. He should know that, but it's kind of eluded him to figure that out.
Adam, we have kind of a big three in terms of the first three wide receivers who we expect to go off the board. Yep. Carnell Tate, Jordan Tyson, likely to be top 10 picks. And then, you know, maybe we sprinkle in Mekhi Lemon somewhere in the middle. But when you get into Casey Concepcion and Omar Cooper, Denzel Boston, do you have a favorite of that group of three who we could see later in round one?
All right. So multiple receivers coaches told me that they have, and these guys are really good at what they do. They've got Tyson one, Tate two. Tate is the best ball tracker. There's some inconsistency with him, but he's explosive. He'll be a starter at the next level. Lemon should be third. Now, and remember, every draft board's not the same. I'm just giving you with two respected guys that I know tell me. Dynasty League alert, I'm going to give you one. This guy is going to probably go third or fourth round. Antonio Williams from Clemson. Depending on where he goes, he's got a chance to start in year two or three. And then there's guys like Chris Brazel, who's super raw but talented. Ted Hurst, my guy from Georgia State. Malachi Fields, as one receivers coach told me, he's the kind of guy you want. If you're in a dark alley, he's going to come up and win. He's big. He's physical. He'll go get the football. This is a deep, fairly deep class, but again, guys, it's like this draft everywhere almost. It's top heavy. It's just not good enough overall, but there's some talent to be had. And then Chris Bell's the wild card because he's coming off a major injury. And then Concepcion, you can line up in a variety of places. Must, I'm told, improve his route running. He should go within the top 40 picks.
Adam, we got a little less than a minute left. Who's your RB2 in this draft? I know it's a pretty steep drop-off after Jeremiah Love.
Yeah, it is. That's a great question. How about his teammate, Jadarian Price? Honestly, guys, you're right. It's such a weak draft running back-wise. I mean, there's value in the middle rounds. I mean, Price is somewhere middle to late second round, you would think. I mean, Coleman I like from Washington. Nick Singleton is explosive in the middle round from Penn State. His teammate, Catron Allen, I like. But you're right, man. You called it right. This is not a very good running back draft, unfortunately.
Adam, we appreciate the time, man. I know we can catch you on the Inside the Birds podcast, NFL Insider, of course, Adam Kaplan. You can find him on SiriusXM as well. And make sure you give him a follow on Twitter at KaplanNFL. Enjoy the draft, man. We'll be following your coverage.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
More draft talk when we come back. We're going to have NFL veteran Chris Doering joining us on the other side. Talk about some SEC angles for tonight. Prop Points returns in a moment.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Nick Whale and Jeff Erickson back with you. It is an NFL round one draft version of Prop Points coming your way. We'll have Chris Doering joining us momentarily for some more draft talk. But folks, the NHL and NBA playoffs are underway, and this is one of the best stretches of the sports betting calendar. If you're betting right now, having the right information makes all the difference. So sign up for our spring special at VSiN and get full access through August 1st for a one-time payment of just $59. That takes you through the NBA and the NHL Finals, the World Cup, the Kentucky Derby, the U.S. Open, Wimbledon, and a whole lot more. Sign up today. You get access to daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, plus 24/7 video and replays on the VSiN Watch app. And at just $59, that's 50% off the regular monthly price. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe for the full details. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Got a couple of games ongoing in Major League Baseball. Not a monster slate by any means. A few more games starting up in the afternoon window, and then we get only Yankees, Red Sox, Twins, Mets, and Pirates, Rangers later tonight. Tarek Skubal on the hill for the Detroit Tigers. They are hosting the Milwaukee Brewers. 2-0 is your score in favor of Detroit. Riley Green with a homer in the bottom of the first. Skubal, 3 strikeouts already through 2 innings. Other game in action right now, the Washington Nationals leading the Atlanta Braves 1-0 in the bottom of the second. Let's head back out to the Progressive guest line, where we have our friend Chris Doering, former Florida Gators wide receiver, NFL veteran. You can find him as an analyst over on ESPN and SEC Network, co-host of SEC This Morning on SiriusXM, and check him out on Twitter at Chris Doering. Chris, I appreciate you giving us some of your time, man. What's your level of excitement for what is, I think consensus, a fairly underwhelming 2026 NFL draft?
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it, man? The lead up to the draft always seems like it takes forever, and we're overanalyzing every little minute detail. I'm glad it's finally here. It takes me back to my time coming out of college and going through the process leading up to the draft and all the anxiety. So I really feel, for these players and what they're going through. But I'm anxious to see. There's so many different rumors out there. What about Jermaine McCoy? How's the knee injury? Is he going to have another surgery? How's that going to affect him? Garrett Nussmeier with the cysts, is that going to be something that, you feel okay about if he does have to have surgery again and him get back to full strength? The drama of the draft as it relates to, the strategy, who's going to move up, who's going to move down, who's going to position themselves to be able to take advantage of the talent that is there and potential draft picks in the future. So there's just a lot of drama, man. I'm excited to get underway tonight.
Yeah, speaking of guys that the speculative might move up, one player that you got to see a lot in the SEC is Ty Simpson, quarterback for Alabama. Consensus number 2 quarterback in this draft. Do you see a team trading into the first round for him, and where do you think is a good landing spot for him?
You guys mentioned a little underwhelming draft, certainly underwhelming at the quarterback position. So, that so much of it is about that, too. It's about coming out the right year. Next year could be a banner year as it relates to quarterbacks, should everybody decide to leave that has the move. So I think Ty Simpson coming out now when he is good. Obviously, Mendoza's the number 1 overall pick and the top quarterback. But I like Ty Simpson a lot. I like his patience, coming to Tuscaloosa and biding his time there. We're in a position where most, quarterbacks want to have that immediate gratification of playing right away. He did something the old school guys used to do, redshirted, waited his chance, and then took advantage of it. So, I think this guy's mature. You may not have as many, snaps on tape, but I go back to that first Georgia game in Athens, man, the way that he executed on third down, his understanding of the offense and where to go with the football based upon what the defense was showing you. I thought he had a lot of poise this year, and I didn't really think they helped him out very much. Not a lot of great run support, not a whole lot of run game. The offensive line didn't protect him very well consistently. So I think there's a lot that you can like about him, and I do believe that somebody's going to move up into the first round. I've heard a lot about Arizona, taking him at the end of the first round, but I certainly think when it's all said and done, he'll be a first-round draft pick tonight.
Chris, what about Garrett Nussmeier? Not that long ago, we were earmarking Nussmeier as a potential first round pick, maybe even in the conversation for the number 1 overall pick heading into the college season. Obviously, things did not go his way at LSU this past year. But, do you view him as somebody who is now underrated relative to how we viewed him maybe 8 months ago?
Isn't that crazy to think about? We're talking about Garrett Nussmeier being underrated after, like you said, last year, if he comes out, probably a first round draft pick. He took kind of an alternative path as well. Most guys would have come out. He valued his experience, what he was able to do in the college level. Now with NIL, it makes it more viable for guys that are kind of sitting on the fence. You can come back, you can make some good money and hopefully help your draft status. He did quite the opposite, unfortunately, with the injury that went undiagnosed. The tape on him was not the same as what we saw the year before. But I had a chance to be with him at the Senior Bowl. He was feeling better. You could tell that he had a little bit more pop back on the throws. So I think it's a perfect description of him, at this point being underrated. And I think it's somebody's going to get a real value there, you know, maybe second, third round.
Chris, you're a former Florida Gator. Top Gator in this draft is probably Caleb Banks, the defensive end. Had that foot injury in the combine. I know there is they sent out a letter to all 32 teams saying he'll probably be ready in June. What's your take on him? What sort of type of player is he going to be in the NFL?
He's dominant. I mean, for his size, he's extremely athletic and versatile. You know, can wreak havoc on an opposing offense with his ability to penetrate up the middle. Like, he's a rare specimen. The problem is, as you mentioned, the foot injury. He had a foot injury that kept him out for a lot of games during the season, re-injured it, and now, you know, working his way back to being healthy. So, yeah, I think this draft, there's a lot more guys that have these injury kind of concerns around them that are first round guys that, you know, teams are going to have to decide, is the upside worth the risk? And I think Caleb certainly is one of those guys with the repeated foot injury that you have to worry about a little bit. But when he's healthy, he is a game plan disruptor for sure.
Chris Doering, ESPN SEC Network analyst, co-host of SEC This Morning on SiriusXM, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Chris, do you have a your guy in this draft, either in or outside of the SEC? Could be a first rounder, could be somebody further down the board, but a guy you've planted your flag on or you're higher on than consensus?
Yeah, you know I'm going to go receivers, and you know I'm going to go SEC receivers. So it's Jeremy Bernard from Alabama. You know, I think this guy... It's funny because everybody heading into the season was talking about Ryan Williams, but Williams played backup to Jeremy Bernard. It was one and then two in the hierarchy there of that team. And I love the versatility. You go back and look at the creativeness in which Ryan Grubb used Jeremy Bernard, lining him up all over the place in the backfield too, you know, inserting it through the A and B gaps and at times. Like, he can just do so much for you. And I think he's incredibly unselfish as well. Made the big time plays in big time moments. He's got some ranginess about him. So I think Jeremy Bernard's a guy. I don't know if he pushes all the way up into the first round tonight, but I think if somebody gets him in the early second, that it's a big value for them as well.
We've often talked about this class having some compromises in there. Like, he's great, but can he do this? Who is the player for you that's the toughest to analyze because of the nature of this draft? Like, is it a wide receiver? Is it any other position? Who's that guy that you're not quite sure what he's going to become?
Ooh, man, that's a good one. You know, it's all relative, right? I mean, in terms of where you're picked, you can pick a guy, you know, later in the draft that you know, seems like a value when you're able to get him there. But Zachariah Branch is a guy that I like a lot. And, you know, I know Steve Smith created some headlines talking about how, you know, the quarterback under Stockton didn't help Zach's stats very much. But he's another guy that I think is a get-it-to guy. You know, in the NFL now, it's more about, all right, let's find guys that we can get it to in space. We can get it to them creatively. You can hand it to them on the jet sweep stuff. You can throw them the spot screens. I think he's a better downfield receiver than people give him credit for. So Zach Branch is a guy, after watching his USC tape and then watching him here in the SEC at Georgia this season, that I think is going to be, you know, a kind of special player because of his versatility and not only what he can give you in the offensive receiving game, but also in the return game as well.
All right, Chris, we got about 30 seconds left. A very simple question for you. Is Diego Pavia an NFL player? Is there a spot for him somewhere in the NFL?
I love Diego Pavia. I love what he's done to transform Vanderbilt, not only the football program, but the entire feeling of that university. Clark Lee believes in him. I believe in him as well. I don't think he'll get drafted. I have a hard time believing that, but I think he could be a guy that could be on your roster as a backup, a dependable backup initially, that can give you, you know, some packages that create some issues for opposing defenses. So I think he's going to find a place to land. I just don't know if he's going to get drafted tonight or get drafted this week yet or not.
Chris Doering, everybody. You can find him on ESPN and SEC Network, co-host of SEC This Morning over on SiriusXM. Check him out on Twitter at Chris Doering. When we come back, we'll give you best bets of the night for Major League Baseball in a two-game NBA set. Prop points, return it on the other side.
Watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Loaded final segment for you here. We got score updates. We got best bets for the NBA and baseball. And still the NFL draft from Nick and I as well. But first, the Sharps Invitational is a season-long NFL bankroll tournament. Think poker meets football. Start with 10,000 chips. Put them to work on spreads, totals, parlays, and even props. NFL Week 1 through the Super Bowl. Stack your chips. Climb the leaderboard. Compete for real money. Three tiers, three champions, three prize pools worth playing for. Sign up today at jointhesharps.com. That's jointhesharps.com. Two day games going on right now. A couple more about to start. In Atlanta, in D.C., Atlanta versus the Nationals. We got J.R. Richie making his Major League Baseball debut. He's thrown three innings so far, one run allowed. That being a home run to James Wood, his 10th of the year already. 1-0 going into the top of the fourth right now in that one there. Awesome debut day for Major League Baseball. You have Richie making his Major League debut, two season debuts, Christian Scott and Peyton Tolley for the Mets and Red Sox, respectively. The other day game going right now, got the Tigers up 2-0 on the Brewers through three. That on the basis of a two-run homer from Riley Green, only his second on the year. Slow start to him, power-wise, in that one there. Tariq Skubal going up against Brandon Sproat in that one. Got two NBA games tonight here, Nick. We got Knicks and Hawks, and we got Cavs and Raptors. Let's start Knicks and Hawks. This series is tied up at one with that fourth quarter collapse from the Knicks last time out. What do you got in this game here?
Hey, but we got three tonight, Jeff. Let's not shortchange game three between the Nuggets and the Wolves. We'll give you a play for that one as well. But starting with Knicks Hawks, 7 p.m. Eastern. This will be going up against the NFL draft, of course, 1-1 series. Knicks are 1.5-point road favorites. 215.5 is our total. Now, I do lean under 215.5. Both games have gone under this number so far. We've seen heavy free throw attempts, especially on the Knicks side of things. We'll see if that continues in Atlanta. Pace has been hovering in the mid-90s, one of the slower pace series that we've seen so far, which does befit the New York Knicks more than it does the Atlanta Hawks. Leading into that line of thinking, Jeff, I'm looking at the under 35.5 on the points, rebounds, assists for Karl Anthony Towns tonight, minus 119 at DraftKings. He's had a really good series so far, had a great game one, wasn't quite as good in game two, but I just don't trust that this continues on the road. You know, we've seen this throughout the regular season, even in the playoffs last year. Karl Anthony Towns has a tough time stringing together a full series or even three games in a row of high level production. They tend to get very Brunson centric as these series go along. So I think this is a spot where we see a little bit less of Cat tonight. So give me the under 35.5 PRA.
All right. In the second of three games, scrolling problem there for me, apparently. Cavs are at the Raptors, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Cavs up two games to none. Cavs are 3.5-point road favorites. You're going to go back to the Scotty Barnes well. You had a prop on him for game two. You got another one for him tonight.
I do. And I'm looking at the over 5.5 assists for Scotty Barnes. We were on the, I think it was 30.5 PRA earlier this week, and that ended up cashing very late in the game. So, you know, prayers up for that one. 22 potential assists for Scotty Barnes so far in this series. Now, the Raptors are not converting those at a high clip, but the advanced numbers say he should have at least three more assists than he does on the ledger through these first two games. I also expect Toronto to shoot it better, specifically from three, as this series now shifts to their home court. They've shot it well from the field overall. They've been 50%+ in terms of overall field goal percentage in each game, but the three-point shooting has completely evaporated. They very well may get Emmanuel Quickley back tonight. That helps as well. So give me Scotty Barnes over 5.5 assists. I think that offense and hopefully Brandon Ingram come around tonight for the Raptors.
All right. This one goes to three. One, two, three. Get, you know, if you had the count when you were watching Electric Company as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Nuggets at Timberwolves. This series is tied up 1-1. Nuggets are a 2.5-point road favorite despite losing game two. 233.5 total. By far the biggest total in this one. A better paced game. What do you got in this one?
Yeah, by far the highest total on the board tonight and for any game that we have posted looking ahead to the weekend. I mean, it's like almost 30 points higher than game three for Rockets Lakers. And, you know, it would track that this has been easily the fastest paced series so far in the playoffs, a 102.6 pace figure. Every other series is in the 90s, with most of those sitting in the mid-90s. So we are seeing these teams go up and down. We're seeing a little bit of, you know, defensive liability on each end. I do like the Nuggets to win and cover on the road tonight. We saw them completely collapse in the fourth quarter in game two. That felt like a game that they should have controlled. They got off to an excellent start. And, you know, that's been a trend for them this season, struggling in the fourth. But it's really hard for me to imagine Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray struggling to the degree that they did down the stretch in game two. So I do like this as a get right spot for the Nuggets. Also, just going to keep going with our autoplay bet. Nikola Jokic over 9.5 assists. I don't mind taking this to 10.5 for a better price, but pretty reasonable, -133 right now on that 9.5 number over at DraftKings. All right, Jeff, before we hand out our best bets for the NFL draft tonight, let's get a couple baseball plays from you. Phillies Cubs starting up in about a half hour at Wrigley Field. Christopher Sanchez taking on Edward Cabrera.
Yeah, good pitching matchup. And yet the total is 9.5. Why? First check on a Wrigley game is always the weather. 72 degrees, the wind is blowing out today. 14 to 16 miles an hour as the breeze is projected there. So we dig into the pitchers a little bit here. Christopher Sanchez, 159 ERA, but a 141 whip. That's awful. That's lousy. That's not an ace level. Why? Because he's got a 413 BABIP. And that comes with the territory when you give up a lot of ground balls. He's a over three to one ground ball to fly ball rate. Ground balls are, we're going to find holes a little bit more. Fly balls get caught or they go out, one or the other. But even accounting for that, it's still really aberrant. Barrel rate's up a little bit. Hard hit rate's a little bit up. But so are the Ks and the whiffs. So I'm not really going to attack Sanchez as much. Let's look at Edward Cabrera. 238 ERA, 128 whip. But there's all sorts of signs of regression here. 17 to 11 K to walk. The K percentage is down from 25.8% last year to 18.7. Swinging strike rate is down. The average fastball velocity is down over a mile an hour. Despite all that, he hasn't allowed a homer. Despite inducing fewer ground balls, the regression monster is lurking around the corner on this one here. This is who we're going to attack. We're going to go Phillies team total over 4.5, -120 over at DraftKings.
Dodgers Giants this afternoon out in San Francisco. Tyler Glasnow taking on Logan Webb. Looking at another team total play here.
Yeah, we are. This is kind of like the Dodgers can't stay this cold too long. They've been slumping the first two games in San Francisco. Webb has allowed, though, three plus runs in four of his five starts so far. Team total Dodgers over 4.5, +110 at DK. The fact that it's a day game also kind of mitigates the park factor a little bit.
All right, before we get to those NFL draft plays, Jeff, Yankees Red Sox tonight in Boston. Got a couple plays in this game.
Very excited about this pitching matchup. Cam Schlittler, who's been amazing this year against Peyton Tolley, a guy I've been stashing in a couple of my leagues, getting his season debut because of the Sonny Gray injury. Schlittler dominated the Red Sox in the playoffs last year, getting a lot of hype on this one. 36-3 K to walk, 17.3 swing strike rate. The Red Sox have been awful offensively, 4-0 Tuesday, 4-1 last night. We're going to Schlittler over 6.5 Ks, +120 at Caesars. And the Red Sox under team total, this is an alternate team total of 2.5. You get a +135 price. The regular team total is 3.5, but you have to play a minus price for that.
Best bets for the NFL draft, Jeff. We are coming up on 6 hours until we have the Las Vegas Raiders on the clock. You and I are in agreement on one here. Carnell Tate under 7.5 on the draft position.
Yeah, sharing a brain on this one there. Get a +105 price over at DK. I'm seeing a mock to the Titans at 4 a lot. And if he does, and if they swerve and take Jeremiah Love, then the Giants will take him at 5. So Carnell Tate under 7.5 as the draft position. I like that. I like the Chiefs' first position drafted wide receiver. It's the fourth one on the board for them at +320 because I think they're a Jordan Tyson team. I think that if Tyson goes there, if he doesn't go before that pick, Bengals. First position drafted. They don't remember, no first round pick. They're going to go in the second round. There are a ton of good linebackers in the second round. +370 at DK. We're going to go that way there. And then finally, total wide receivers drafted in the first round under 5.5, +140 at DK. Because there's so many good linebackers and getting some steam, a lot of offensive linemen getting steam. Maybe Ty Simpson gets traded up into the first round. I think one of those receivers gets pushed into the second round.
I'm with you on that. I like that price +140. I think we get 5 receivers in round one. Like I said, with you on Carnell Tate under 7.5. I don't know if he goes top 5, but I don't think he makes me pass Washington at 7 specifically. And you could get that Carnell Tate to the Commanders at +235. Give me Mansoor Delane to be a top 10 pick. This is on the move a little bit, but you could still get minus 135 at DraftKings, up to minus 145 now at FanDuel. And the Jacksonville Jaguars, Jeff, if you're giving out a Cincinnati Bengals prop, I got a counter with the Jags. They also, as of right now, do not have a first round pick. I think defensive line or edge as that first selection at plus 150 is a good value spot here. You could make a case for a linebacker after losing Devin Lloyd, but you know, you're getting two positions essentially packaged together with defensive line and edge. Both of those are big time needs right now, especially interior for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Cade McDonald, TJ Parker, Lee Hunter could all be in play if they stick and pick in round two. And again, I would not be surprised if we see James Gladstone making some calls trying to get into the back end of round one later tonight. We'll be back with you in this very time slot, 1 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, recapping everything from round one of the NFL draft. Money moves. Stormy Bonnetoni, JVT, taking the baton next.